For KBIA News, I'm Katarina Sestarek. The Missouri Senate and Missouri House have both passed bills to ban sales of electronic nicotine delivery devices to minors. Both bills would limit the sales of these devices, sometimes called e-cigarettes, to consumers at least 18 years old, and both versions would not subject the devices to being regulated or taxed as tobacco products. That provision drew the ire of several Democrats, including House member Jill Shoup of St. Louis County. She grilled the bill's sponsor, Republican Caleb Rowden of Columbia, on why his bill would not tax e-cigarettes.
I want to know where this came from. Where did this additional language that was not in the bill that was heard come from, gentlemen?
It came from my brain.
From your brain, not from big tobacco and small tobacco lobbyists who are putting in this kind of language in 26 other states around the country.
Rowden and other Republicans defended the language, saying that the bill would be defeated if it included the taxation of nicotine devices. Then minors would continue to be able to buy them. The House version would also ban e-cigarettes on public school property. Leaders in both chambers have just over a month to hammer out a final version of the proposal. According to multiple reports on Thursday, Missouri men's basketball coach Frank Haith has verbally accepted an offer to become the head coach at the University of Tulsa. He would replace Danny Manning at Tulsa. A person with knowledge of the situation at Tulsa says Haith is the front runner for the job, and he was traveling to the school on Thursday afternoon. The person spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity because nothing had been finalized. Haith coached at Miami of Florida before taking over at Missouri. He led Missouri to a 30-5 record in 2011-12 and was the Associated Press Coach of the Year that year. The Tigers went 23-12 this season. If Haith leaves MU in the middle of his six-year contract, he'll have to pay the university $500,000. The criminal trial of former Mamtech CEO Bruce Cole has been delayed until December by a St. Charles County judge presiding over the case. Cole had been scheduled for trial June 16th on five felony charges related to a failed project to build an artificial sweetener plant in Moberly. The Columbia Daily Tribune reported Thursday that Circuit Judge Daniel Pelican rescheduled the trial for December 2nd. That came after attorneys said the trial likely would take longer than originally estimated. Mamtech benefited from $39 million in local bonds and could have received more than $17 million of state incentives to build a sweetener facility. But the project, which was announced in 2010, failed financially before construction ever was completed. A Missouri Senate committee has endorsed a 1-cent sales tax increase to fund transportation projects. The proposed constitutional amendment passed the House earlier this month. It was adopted by the Senate Transportation and Infrastructure Committee on Thursday with a 6-1 vote. If passed by the full Senate, the measure would head to the November ballot for voter approval. The tax is estimated to generate $800 million annually and $8 billion over its 10-year lifespan. The lone no vote on the Senate panel was Republican Senator John Lamping, who led the fight against similar legislation last year. He says Republicans are sending a mixed message by raising sales taxes while also passing an income tax cut this year. Supporters say the tax is necessary for Missouri to maintain its highway system. Some Missouri farmers say they will oppose construction of a power line cutting through the state. The Missouri Farm Bureau says they don't want the company Grain Belt Express using their land for electrical lines. KBIA's Luke Slabaugh reports how both sides are making an effort to end this conflict.
The 750-mile-long electrical line would start in Kansas and run east through Missouri. Missouri Farm Bureau President Blake Hurst says Missouri farmers don't want to give Grain Belt Express access because they believe it will interfere with daily farmer operations. He says that he and affected Missouri farmers do not see any resolution with the power line involved.
I mean, we have just really almost unanimous opposition in the counties where this thing is going to go through. People do not want this power line going through their county.
The line would carry electrical current from wind turbines in Kansas to Indiana. Grain Belt Express officials call it the clean line. Grain Belt Express Director of Development Paul Lawler says the line will provide cost-efficient energy to Missouri residents. He says the company will work to reach agreements with groups opposing the project.
It is very much about communication, getting the facts and the information out there, and that's what we've been focused on. So it's very much done on an individual, face-to-face basis.
The Missouri Public Service Commission will decide on the case concerning eminent domain. Luke Slabaugh, KBIA News.
Nearly 300 scientists at the University of Missouri presented their research at the 30th annual Life Sciences Week. KBIA's Stephanie Koala has more on the story.
This week, scientists and researchers gathered to present and further develop their research projects at the poster sessions. Undergraduate research assistant Maggie Urschler was among the hundreds in attendance.
It's to educate people, and we also wanted to get feedback on our lab that we have created and just see what other people's opinions are and if they have any like helpful ideas that would also help students learn.
In addition to researchers and scientists, vendors were also present at the poster session to market their latest products. Nick Biokos, a sales representative with Midwest Scientific, says there's nothing but benefits thanks to the Life Sciences Week events.
It's just bringing so many people from so many different walks of life together. People studying plants, people studying animals, people studying humans. It's kind of why the Life Science Center here was built, to facilitate those types of groups to work together.
But this event is no small feat. Ginny Booker, manager of marketing and communications for the Bond Life Sciences Center, works year-round to put the event together.
This is one of those times where it's a gathering of scientists from all over campus, from so many different areas of study, and it gives them an opportunity to see what's going on in other areas. And sometimes it's just literally those informal contacts that happen that spur collaborations.
Life Sciences Week events are scheduled through Saturday, April 19th. Stephanie Koala, KBIA News.
For KBIA News, I'm Katarina Sestarik.